In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we gather this night to recall the passion and especially the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Psalms which began today's service invite us to a peculiar focus on peace and hope. In Psalm 4, verse 8, we sang, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." On that first Good Friday night, you can be sure that the disciples did not sleep much at all. Their heads undoubtedly were spinning with all of the events that had happened in the past 24 hours. They had seen their friend betray their Lord. He was sentenced at a false trial. He was brutally tortured and eventually put to death. The disciples, undoubtedly, on that first Good Friday night, were disturbed, frightened for their own lives, deeply sorrowful at how the events had played out, how they had abandoned their Lord and teacher. And assuredly, the shame would not allow them to rest. But dear friends in Christ, we are distinctly different than the disciples on that first Good Friday night. Despite the somber tone of this service, despite the somber tone of all of our services this Holy Week, we know how this all ends. Christ emerges victorious. He overcomes Satan upon the cross. Christ atones for our sins by the shedding of his precious blood. And then our Lord enters into the sleep of death in order to defeat our final enemy. The Apostle Paul writes in the great resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 26, the Apostle writes, "The last enemy that will be destroyed is death." And so it is that Christ has defeated sin and the devil, and now he enters into death in order to begin death's destruction. And so we sang in Psalm 16, speaking of the grave, "My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." So it is that the death of Christ our Lord grants us a new dwelling, just as we sang in Psalm 15. "We shall abide in thy tabernacle and dwell in thy holy hill." So it is that we see this truth being accomplished upon the cross as our Lord commits his mother into the care of his beloved disciple. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Now, certainly, with these words, we see a man, a son, caring for his earthly mother as she watches him brutally tortured and dying. He looks upon her and has pity on her, and so commends her into the care of his beloved friend and disciple. But there is certainly more going on here than just earthly realities. For the gospel writer, the holy evangelist, St. John, is also known in the church as Saint John the Theologian, because his gospel contains in virtually every word more than meets the eye. Certainly, St. John wants us to see here a son providing for his mother before he dies, but there is much more going on. There is a deeper spiritual truth at work. See, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and in his death, we are made new. The cross is the fountain from which flows the heavenly birth of water and the Spirit of which our Lord had spoken to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And so it is that the evangelist testifies that he saw with his own eyes that when all stood completed, the side of our Savior was pierced and blood and water flowed forth. Long ago, Adam had his side pierced. He was put into a deep sleep, and the Lord brought forth from his side the woman, and indeed all of the human race. So now upon the cross, the last Adam sleeps a deep sleep, the sleep of death, and his side too is pierced, and it brings forth a new family of God. The blood and the water, that is, the sacraments, give birth to the church. Mary and John are now mother and son. You and I are brothers and sisters. For the water of holy baptism and the blood of our Lord's Supper grants us new life and a new family. See, the home that we dwell in now is not our own earthly structure. As believers in Christ, our home is the Lord's house. Here we dwell. Here we are sustained until the fullness of all things comes about and Christ returns. So it is that the psalmist says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. So often sleep eludes us. Our minds wander. The worries and the cares of this life so occupy us that we cannot sleep. It eludes us. But the truth of Christ's crucifixion, the truth of his death, is that now the worries and cares of this life have no ultimate power over us. For in his death, Christ has given us a new and a greater hope. And so, dear friends, we need not fear the terror of the night. For night is but a foreshadowing of the death that we all must undergo. We need not fear this, for Christ has entered into death ahead of us, and he will be there to greet you when it is your turn to sleep the sleep of death. Therefore, the psalmist says, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. When the lights go out, when the reality of death finally sets in for you, it is not the end. The darkness of death is not what you were created for. And yet Christ has gone the way that we all must go. He has entered into death in order to rid it of its power. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Therefore, dear friends in Christ, there is hope. Yes, there is even peace in death for us. For the blood and the water grant us the hope and the peace of a new and eternal family and dwelling. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.